The Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live.
It is a good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. We have Michael Fabiano coming up today on the show. There's a lot that is happening behind the scenes on the fantasy football front. Cam Newton being released today. You guys are getting your team set. There's been movement all around the league. So this is a time to get Fabs on board, as we do every week. Michael Fabiano with SiriusXM, Fantasy Dirt, and, of course, with Sports Illustrated. So we will be talking with Fabs here in about 10 minutes. Riley Nelson is going to be with us today. Riley is with the BYU Cougar Radio Network, is their analyst. And this weekend, we're going to send both Spurge and Jordy Ham to Las Vegas for the U of A opener against BYU. BYU has a lot of Arizona ties. I don't know how much, if at all, we'll see Jacob Conover at quarterback for the Cougars and the Gunnar Romney story up in Provo. So I wanted to have Riley on to talk about BYU, U of A. That game's really interesting to me. I'm more interested in that than the Arizona State game this weekend. And just what BYU's going to be all about and finding a replacement for Zach Wilson. And then Spurge and Claudia Faust have put together a new show. A new show. I like having new shows show up on the stream. On the bleachers, they're going to do their thing. And I have asked them to look at high school football a little differently. There's high school stuff everywhere, and it's fine. Most of it's fine. Most of it's fine. Some of it is just making money off kids. But and some of it's just crazy parents. But I've asked them to put together a show with some. I want more fun. And I want it to be in a way that is different and unique from their vision, their view. They're not going to see high school football as me, as a dad, will see it. Okay. And having been through high school football and high school sports for the last 20 years, I've seen it go through all sorts of shifts and changes. They're not going to see high school football the way a 40-year-old or a 35-year-old, they're just not. And that's great. I want them to put their own spin on it, take some chances, take some risks. You know, you don't show up and be, well, I've got it all figured out on week one. How the show looks in week one is not how it's going to look in week 8 or week 10. Doesn't matter. I just know those two are super, super talented and can go a lot of different directions. They can do TV, they can do radio, they can do streams, they can do documentaries, they can do all those things. But I want them to take some time and have a little bit of fun. This is not brain surgery, it's sports. So we have a little bit of this, a little bit of that today, with fantasy football with Fabs, and then Riley on from BYU on the U of A matchup, and then we will see what Claudia and Spurge have put. I have not seen the show. I am not one of those that says, hey, so this is what I want, and I need to approve it, and no, go do it, and if you step in it, you step in it. I trust them. So, and I believe Rick Gerritsen is with them as their first guest, the head coach at Chandler, defending champs in the open division. So that is coming up on today's stream as well. We are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. You know, the story, last night I found myself watching Naomi Osaka. And I'm not going to go with Malcolm Butler, might retire, might walk away, and all that stuff off the top, because it's fine. You know, they'll get to the Cardinals and Titans shortly. We'll get to that. Mental health is something that is talked about an awful lot in sports. And I've noticed over the last few days that our industry has taken the tact of wanting to, let's make sure we don't ask things that might be pressing or might be a little hard. Last night when Naomi Osaka won her opening round match at the U.S. Open, the questions were about the design of her racket and who she gave a ball to and all that stuff. And it was very... then it was fine. It was an opening round. She did what she was supposed to do in straight sets. The other day I was watching UCLA take on Hawaii, and they go down to the sideline reporter, sideline reporters usually are there to go chase injuries. They're ambulance chasers for the most part. The really good ones are able to tell stories and wrap them in with in the game. Tracy Wolfson is terrific. I think she's the standard. To me, she is the standard of sideline reporters who's telling me something I don't know, who's willing to stand in there and ask some questions. She's a mom of two, and she just goes out and kicks ass and takes names. That's what she's about. During the UCLA-Hawaii game, we got a sideline reporter that had the athletic director of UCLA on. And the first thing is, how great is that swoosh, that Jordan brand on your shirt? And I couldn't get to the remote quick enough. And all it was just marketing and PR for the Pac-12 in a game where it was blowout city. I understand that. And the AD takes the opportunity to say to a national audience on ABC, yes, we understand how important that this brand is and how kids this day want to see this. And there's a play that's being run and he's going to continue to go on and on and on about a clothing line brand. So what happened there? Did the new commissioner of the Pac-12 step in and say, I want our broadcast to be nothing but marketing? And then what happened with Osaka last night? Well, Osaka wasn't that bad. I was sitting with my wife, and she gets a little annoyed with me at times when I look at things and say, please give me the remote. I can't get out of here quick enough. Last night, she's like, no, I thought that was actually kind of cool. I learned something different about Osaka. I'm rooting for Osaka. I think it's great that she has taken the stance that she has taken on sports and mental health. We need to do more on sports and mental health. We do. We have a page that we work on with sports and mental health. I thought our documentary last week on Zach Hoffpower had some moments where the parents were actually going through, working through the process, Zach's counseling and all that. If you haven't seen the documentary, go check it out. But that struck me last night. Yeah, I watched the Diamondbacks, and what happened? So, do you know the Diamondbacks have been outscored by 182 runs this year? 182! They lost again last night. Tatis had a shutout. So Malcolm Butler. So here are the Super Cardinals getting ready for their season. And they have Julio Jones, and they have the Tennessee Titans. I actually have some fans that sent notes to me about this to ask Fabs, who's going to come up here in a couple minutes, about if Malcolm Butler does ride off into the sunset, if he doesn't play, if he's going to retire, if he's going to take a break, whatever it may be, do I play Julio Jones? Of course, the answer is yes. We all know this. But that's where fans are. Fans this year, I'm just seeing it head on. We are all seeing an avalanche of what is the line on the game because of all the betting that's going to be starting to be legalized next month or next week, and that's fine. We've been doing that for years. And fantasy football is as popular as ever. But I think if you were just taking a look at common sense matchups, nowadays it is not just talking about your team. It is talking about it from one of two points of view. One, the gambling side, and the other, the fantasy football side, and that's about it. If you didn't have both of those, or even only had one of those, which fantasy football has been, it's just the gambling's been illegal and is underneath the table, and now it's not. I find it funny to see. I think it was Albert Breer who posted a quote from Commissioner Goodell in 2015, we will never do this when it comes to legalized gambling, legalized betting on NFL games. And now next week we'll be allowed to. And I think that's fine. I have been putting guests on the air to talk about it. I think it's fine. It's just you got to keep up on these things. And it's no longer the my guy who plays for the Kansas City Chiefs is the most popular guy in my household. Instead, it's, boy, if Chase Claypool can kill it for me this year over at Pittsburgh, then I'm all in. I am all in. Chips are all on the table. So we'll get to Michael Fabiano on Cam Newton being released and other things around the league as your fantasy teams and drafts are all going on this week and next week. That is on the other side. And then we'll go up to Provo and Riley Nelson from the BYU Cougar Radio Network, and then Claudia and Spurge with their debut show on the bleachers. That is coming up as today's show rolls on. Senior Executive Vice President of Nothing Today is the Iron Man, Jared Nielsen. It's he and I taking this ship. And we're back with more after this timeout. All right, as promised, Fabs is with us, Michael Fabiano, the Hall of Famer. Of course, you can find his content on SportsIllustratedSI.com and SiriusXM Fantasy Dirt. Let's just get right to it. Time is short with you today. Cam Newton released. Houston is next destination. Do I pick up Mac Jones? I'm saying that question mark about Cam. Damian Harris, I've got to go get him. So unpack Cam Newton being released today in New England.
Yeah, a bit of a surprise, right? I mean, Cam had a, well, let's just say less than stellar 2020 season when it came to throwing the football. What do you have, 8 touchdown passes last year and 3 came in the last game? So not great. And then what did New England do? They went in and added a whole bunch of pass catchers in the offseason through free agency. And Mac Jones looked good in preseason. He's an accurate guy. He's a guy that Bill Belichick feels obviously like he can trust. And, you know, Belichick's typically not a guy who's going to lean on a rookie quarterback, but this is where we're at right now. So this is good news for everybody in New England. Mac Jones is not going to be drafted across the board. He's not a high QB2. He's probably going to be a low QB2, maybe a high QB3, certainly going to be drafted in all leagues where you get the potential to start a quarterback as a flex or a 2QB league or best ball. He'll be drafted in all those leagues. And his accuracy, and I get it, he's a rookie, so he's going to have some growing pains for sure. But as a player who is an accurate passer, who was very accurate last year at Alabama, who looked very accurate in the preseason, this is good news for everybody, right? I mean, I don't know that the Patriots are going to have one or two players in the pass attack that are going to be consistent enough to start every week in fantasy. But when you've got a reliable, consistent, accurate passer under center, which Jones looks like right now, maybe that'll change. Mm-hmm. But it's good for Nelson Aguilar. It's good for Jacoby Myers. It's good for the two tight ends, Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith. And I also think this is really good for Damian Harris, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, that's the winner happens, here. That's the winner.
Right. This, what right? happens right. when the Patriots get down in near the goal line? Well, if Cam Newton's under center, he's getting the ball, right? Guess who's not going to do that? Mac Jones. Mac Jones is going to be handing the ball off. Mac Jones is not going to run the ball, folks. And he's not going to do anything near the goal line except for maybe QB sneak from time to time. But this is good for Damian Harris, who is creeping up into that low RB2 category from a fantasy perspective. So good news here for Cam. Like, he's going to end up somewhere. If he wants to play football, he will. You mentioned Houston. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. How about the Cowboys? Our backup quarterback right now is Cooper Rush. I'd love to see Cam end up with a star on the side of his helmet, but who knows? He will end up somewhere, though. If he ends up in Houston, though, that's pretty interesting. That would be an interesting move, but everything is a mess right now with that team in terms of the quarterback position with the Deshaun Watson situation. So who the heck knows? But Cam is going to end up somewhere. I just don't know that he's getting up somewhere where he'll compete for a starting job.
Okay, I know your time is short, so let's just bang right through these. J.K. Dobbins, is it going to be Gus Edwards? Do you start looking at Tyson Williams? Where are you at with the Ravens and the injuries?
Here's the thing with Gus. Very effective runner. He's got a good yards per carry average. He's going to get the majority of the carries in a offense that's going to run the ball a ton. That's all good. He doesn't do a lick in the passing game, right? So I would suggest that he's probably, for me, more of a low RB2, high flex starter. I certainly like him. There's no doubt about that. I've seen Tyson get drafted now. He's being picked late, Williams. So you can potentially go out and grab him as a flyer at some point. But Gus is the guy to get right now, unless the Ravens change their mind and sign a running back. And that is certainly within the realm of possibility. Time will tell.
Getting a lot of questions, Fabs, about Chase Claypool and your view of him.
Last year, 11 touchdowns. And I think he's taken that first step to potential fantasy stardom. I have seen him drafted as the second Steelers wide receiver in fantasy ahead of Juju Smith-Schuster. Mm. Deontay Johnson's been the consensus number one Steelers wide receiver, but Claypool might have the most upside. He is a tremendous playmaker and a guy that certainly knows how to get into the end zone. And the Steelers are going to try to run the ball more this year with Najee Harris under center. The offensive line's got some question marks, but if they can keep Ben Roethlisberger upright, I still feel like Claypool will get his. And those opportunities will be very beneficial. Let's put it that way. I like him as a high wide receiver 3.
A couple other things I'll get you out of here with Michael Fabiano, the Hall of Famer. You can find him over on SI.com, Sports Illustrated, and SiriusXM Fantasy Dirt. Last week we talked about the Rams and Henderson's lack of staying healthy. They go get Sony Michel. What's your strategy there?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny how, like, the Rams, you know, oh, we have all kinds of faith in Henderson as long as he can be available. And then the second he hurts a thumb,
Right.
They make a trade enough to get Sony Michel. Yeah. And I'm like, Sony Michel's a former first round guy who's in the prime of his career. Right. So it's not like they went out and signed Todd Gurley, who's over the hill. Right. I mean, they got a guy who can still get the job done. He was having a really good camp with the Patriots. So to me, and I'm not the coach of the Rams, obviously, but maybe you agree, maybe you don't. But doesn't Sony Michel make sense as the early down guy and the goal line guy, and Daryl Henderson make sense as the pass catching complement, a guy who's going to be utilized, you know, out in space as a pass catcher, a guy who can maybe hit the home run from time to time? Like, that's why they got Sony Michel. So I would not be surprised if some point during the course of the season, and maybe hell going into week one or week two, that Sony Michel starts. And this move is good for Henderson because it's going to keep the workload off of him that he might have had otherwise, because he's not a durable guy and he's not a featured back in the National Football League. He's not Saquon. He's not Zeke. He's not a guy like that. So I have Henderson ranked as a flex starter right now, more of a high-end flex starter in that range. But I think Sony Michel is a really good RB4 right now, because you're getting him at a decent price as it pertains to his draft position, and he could end up being the starter for that team. And I wouldn't be surprised if he was sooner rather than later. It's going to be a committee, though, Brad, overall.
Yeah. Last question I'll get you out of here, and that is, a lot of fans hearing the news here in Arizona about Malcolm Butler looking at retiring, taking some time off, and the Titans as the opener and Julio sitting on the other side of the field. Do you have any strategy? Because I'm getting fans saying, ask Fabs if I should start Julio automatically now because of this. I would say you'd start Julio regardless, but that's
right. Exactly. You know, it's funny. I've had three or four drafts in the last 2 days, and I've gotten Julio a couple of times. And every time I hit the button to draft him, I'm like, all right, I'll do it. But I didn't really feel great about it. Right. Yeah. Because the injuries last year, new team, run-based offense with Derrick Henry, you know, the Butler situation aside, you're playing Julio Jones if he's active. He's going to be your wide receiver two. Maybe you got him as a wide receiver three. If you did, kudos. But he's going to be a guy who's going to be active to start the season, and we'll see how it goes in that offense.
Get out of here. Go do things with Cam. I'll let you go. Thanks.
All right, my brother. Thank you.
There is the Hall of Famer Michael Fabiano on short notice with Cam Newton. That going down, we'll let Fabs go, and we're back with more after this timeout. All right, let's turn our attention now. U of A plays BYU on Saturday, and then in a couple of weeks, you have Arizona State playing the Cougs. In fact, BYU has three Pac-12 schools right out of the gate. They have Utah sandwiched in between. So I said, let's do a deep dive into BYU, because there are a lot of Arizona angles tied to the Cougars program through the years and this year too. Riley Nelson, who has been doing the color work for the BYU radio network, he joins us for a couple of minutes. Right off the top, I guess the news of the day about the Big 12 interested in BYU and all this conference alignment. So what's the feel in Provo about maybe being pursued by the Big 12, Riley?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. And this is mostly from the fan base. I haven't been down there since I was there at the beginning of camp. I haven't been down there since the Oklahoma, Texas deal was announced. But I do, you know, try and keep my finger on the pulse of the fan base. And it's turned from what was a decision driven largely by football to one where they're like, well, and now that Oklahoma and Texas are gone, it's not maybe the best football, but it's a great basketball conference. That would be sweet for BYU basketball. And it might serve something a little bit better until this whole thing shakes out. There's a prevailing belief both inside and outside the athletics department, meaning fans and inside the athletic department, that the Big 12 is likely not long for as a football conference, or especially as a P5 designated football conference, whether it's ripped apart by the other big ones or just dissolves entirely. So it's not seen as a long-term solution, but to get back in a conference is exciting. Like I said, most fans are excited at the prospects of basketball more so than football at this point. But there's also a faction that this is helping them realize that maybe what we have in Independence isn't so bad.
Yeah.
When you look at the schedules that they've got over the next 4 to 5 years compared to what a conference schedule in the current Big 12 would look like, some people are saying, I'd take our Independence schedule over that. So anyway, a lot of hypotheticals being thrown out there, a lot of opinions being shared, but not much other than that.
What is the feel about on the field and the replacement for Zach Wilson just off the top? And where does Jacob Conover fit into that, player of the year down here at Chandler High?
Yeah, this is just my sense. I haven't. First of all, I think it was likely Jaren Hall being the senior statesman, being someone who everybody has seen play, and when he did get the opportunity to play two seasons ago, performed very well. I don't think it was any surprise that he was named the starter. Here is the gospel according to Riley. I think if a quarterback needs to come in and finish a game, or if Jaren's out, you know, say he bruises his thumb or something, he's got to be out a week or two, I think they follow the existing depth chart where, you know, they go to Baylor Romney for that. But I think if Jaren Hall, you know, unfortunately a season ending injury or something like that happens, I would not be surprised to see, you know, the future, which is Jacob Conover, start now. I think he's positioned himself well. He was, the word coming out of camp was, of course, the arm talent was there. The accuracy was there. People were surprised at the depth and level of his leadership, even as an underclassman and in a backup role. And then, of course, you know, his work ethic and everything else has proved out. He made an impression on his teammates being relatively new to the program. So I would not be surprised if, you know, at some point, it should something happen to Jaren. I think if Jaren stays relatively healthy, I don't know that we'll see much Jake Conover this year. But if something does, I would not be surprised to see the ball handed over to him.
Riley Nelson with us for a couple of minutes. U of A taking on BYU in Las Vegas. We'll have two of our teammates on the field in the press box covering the game on Sports 360 AZ. That will be this Saturday night. Riley, of course, part of the BYU broadcast crew. Let's switch over then to another Romney. You mentioned Baylor, Gunner. Gunner had it going on down here. So Romneys.
Most definitely. And Gunner is poised. The biggest thing for him, word on him was every year. And of course it's maybe some of your listeners and viewers are familiar, maybe some aren't, but when you come back from your LDS mission, mm-hmm. the hamstrings just seem to be the bane of every wide receiver's existence. You just can't. And even though he was 2 years removed last year, obviously that hampered him. Now the 1-2 punch they had last year with Dax Milne and Gunnar Romney was great, but it was hampered a little bit when Gunnar's hamstring issues reared their ugly head in midseason. The most exciting thing about Gunnar coming out of camp this year is he's battled hamstring tightness, not injuries, but, you know, tightness and discomfort every fall camp except this one. So they are extremely excited about the possibility of him being able to play, you know, fingers crossed and knock on wood, but being able to play this season injury free. And then the second thing that they're excited about, both the Romney boys possess really strong, assertive, albeit quiet. They're not the most vociferous or outspoken guys as far as leaders go, but Gunner has emerged as the leader of that wide receiver group, which is very deep and very talented, and something that everybody associated with BYU football is really excited about this year.
What do you think his ceiling is, Riley?
Yeah, you know, Dax Milne got who was his counterpart last year, obviously left early for the draft. He got drafted in the late rounds, and it's looking like he's, all indications are, is he's going to make the 53 man with the Washington Redskins. I don't have any reason to believe that Gunner's ceiling is any lower than Dax's. Now it could be higher, because I think Gunner possesses a little bit more top speed ability and also down the field ability, where Dax is trying to find his way between, you know, is he a slot guy in the NFL? Is he an outside guy? I think Gunner's a bona fide outside threat in college. And then the degree to which he can make plays and produce down the field with his, you know, with that elite top end speed, I think make him definitely an attractive prospect for the draft and an NFL career.
Big picture on the field, what are you most looking forward to seeing Saturday night in Las Vegas from Kalani Sitake's side of the street? Or maybe it's U of A, I don't know. What are you most looking forward to seeing?
Well, you know, a lot of people, first of all, I'm going to be excited to be in a stadium with tens of thousands of fans. That's going to be the first thing. And so a lot of fans are excited. A lot of BYU fans who don't follow the thing closely are thinking, you know, because obviously U of A's struggles are well documented, right, with the losing streak and that. But what I'm most interested to see about this matchup is, I don't think U of A is going to lay down. From everything that I've seen coming out of their camp, I think that they're headed in the right direction. And they're doing it. You know, you had the Sumlin hire, and he brought with him all the Texas Tech, and you had all this kind of fanfare. They've been able to get back in the lab in relative, you know, anonymity. In other words, they haven't had the bright light. There's been no expectations. And it, from all the time that I've been associated with football, that's the recipe for a turnaround, not a high profile hire and things like that. But you bring in someone who's relatively unknown and a group of players who are pissed off and tired of being, you know, tired of being the butt of every joke. And so I expect U of A to come out with absolute, you know, vengeance and intensity. Now, what remains to be seen is what foundation of talent do they have still in the program from a recruiting standpoint? And then how well can they execute with, you know, relatively new coaching staff? So that's the first thing from the Wildcats side of the football. From the BYU side of the football, I'm first most excited to see what all these returning offensive weapons can do with the addition of Pukin and Samson Nakua, a transfer from Washington, and brothers, one transfer from Washington, one from Utah, to add to what was already a very deep wide receiver tight end room for BYU. You've got obviously their top three returning producers in the running back. So that's what I'm most excited to see. The biggest question for BYU in my mind, and I think a key to this game, will be replacing a lot of experience and talent on the offensive line. While it's great that you got all those skill players to get the ball to, two questions need to be answered. Number one is, can the offensive line provide enough time for a new starting quarterback for him to get the ball? And then the second question is, can Jaren Hall, even though it won't be his first start, it will be his first time as the named starter, can he process the information? Can he command the huddle? Can he do all the things that he needs to make the whole symphony work? So I can't wait. We're only a few days away.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it as well. Appreciate your time. I'll be in Provo with Arizona State doing my thing, so look forward to meeting you and finding you in the press box before the game. Thanks.
Yeah, tremendous. Thank you so much.
There's Riley Nelson with us on the BYU broadcast. Again, U of A at BYU, the game in Las Vegas this Saturday night. And we're back with more after this timeout.